You're listening to Street Roots Radio on X-Ray FM. I'm Hannah Francis. Street Roots Radio is a collaboration between X-Ray FM, KBOO Radio, and local publication Street Roots. Street Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon, that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. Today, the article we are discussing is called New Directions. Is he jumping from a sinking ship or bringing a much-needed lifeboat to Portland? I have with me Street Roots investigative reporter Henry Brennan, who wrote this article. Thanks for being here, Henry.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So this article is about the appointment of the new director of the Homeless Services Department, Nathaniel Vergao. So what's he walking into? And what might he be able to bring to the tables? The main question that your article investigates. The Multnomah County Board of Commissioners hired him recently. So when will he start this position and how much money will he be making?
Yeah, those are good questions. Those are kind of the big ones. So he starts on May 4th and he'll be making $240,000 a year. So he's starting off pretty strong, I would say.
What exactly does the Homeless Service Department do, and what is it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's basically Multnomah County's homelessness agency. And so, you know, because of that, that means it basically does a ton of different things. So that's like making contracts with service providers, doing the yearly counts that let us know, you know, how many people are experiencing homelessness at one given day. Monitors kind of local spending of federal dollars, and then it funds a bunch of different things, whether it's like eviction prevention, shelters, street outreach, or like, you know, data collection. So yeah, it does a ton of different things.
So Vergao is being hired at kind of a tricky time for this department. Can you tell me about some of the challenges that the Homeless Service Department has been coming up against lately?
Yeah. I mean, for starters, they face, you know, an $87 million budget shortfall, which is, you know, a little more than a quarter of the current fiscal year's budget, which is about $334 million. So that's right off the bat, a pretty tough kind of way to start. But then in addition to that, there've been a wave of shelter closures and projected closures. There's been cuts to, you know, homeless service provider staff. And then to kind of top it all off, the county and the city are kind of engaged in this increasingly public battle over the best way to fight homelessness, where they're kind of taking different directions and also taking shots at each other very publicly.
What exactly does this position, the director of the Homeless Services Department, do?
Yeah, so I mean, he's basically stepping into that, you know, firestorm, and you know, it's his job to run it. So they've hired him, you know, they've kind of highlighted a bunch of reasons, you know, mostly about his experience. But then they also highlighted his previous job, where he was senior Los Angeles's version of Los Angeles's version of HSD, where it's kind of a, although there it's a partnership between the county and the city of LA. But yeah, he's got a ton of experience running this type of stuff. And that's exactly what he's going to be doing here. Basically just implementing policy and doing all sorts of all the admin stuff that goes with that job, being the director of the department.
So before we get into the details of what exactly Nathaniel Vergao's qualifications are, what did the process of gathering this information and reporting this story look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, when the news first was released by the county early in April, the Oregonian, the Portland Mercury, and some others had some great stories about it that were super informative. And then, you know, last week my editor mentioned, you know, maybe we should put something out about that, really seeking to answer, you know, one, who is this guy? And then how's he going to lead? Because, you know, this is obviously at any time an extremely important job in the county, but especially right now, I would argue. We dug into his past, you know, we reached out to his colleagues, people familiar with his employers, reporter who's covered him. And then I really did, you know, the some deep internet sleuthing, you know. So I found, I don't know, I guess like over 50 different pieces of kind of different types of online media that featured him. So that's mostly things like meeting minutes and agendas for things like county councils, city councils, even neighborhood commissions. I found news stories, grant applications, conference schedules, presentations, reports. And my personal favorite, he was included in the end notes of this kind of somewhat famous academic, Virginia Eubanks. She wrote this 2018 book, Automating Inequality, How High-Tech Tools Profile Police and Punish the Poor, which apparently he was interviewed for. So we dove pretty deep on him trying to see who he is.
Nathaniel Virgo has been working in homeless services in California for about 20 years, right? So, how did he get his start in this work?
So I found that he graduated this college called Hamilton College back in 1995 with a BA in French literature or French language and literature. And you know, then there's some missing years. You know, I thought maybe he was in Boston. I couldn't really figure it out. But then in 2000, his LinkedIn shows that he's working as a social worker in San Francisco's Tenderloin neighborhood. And for people not familiar, that's kind of a poorer, more diverse neighborhood that has, you know, a lot of people living on the street, and a lot of history there too that isn't so negative, but gentrification has made it pretty negative, and especially around then. And so he's working as a social worker for a few years, and then he's promoted to program director there. Then around 2005, he takes a step away from his kind of career for about 5 or I guess about 6.5 years. And he basically works as a father to his three kids. That's his job. 2012, he steps back into the professional world, but just working in insurance. And then in 2014, he jumps back into social work. And from there, it's a pretty, you know, honestly, a pretty fast ascent. So late 2014, he ends up working as the outreach and assessment manager for this place, LA Family Housing. And I should say, I also talked to people who are familiar with his work there. And they basically described a guy who was very comfortable on the ground and had relationships with the people he served at some of these encampments that some of them were pretty far out there. And I should say some news articles also reflect that. It's also, I guess, pretty relevant, the kind of the context of the time. You know, I went through that nonprofit's tax records, and it shows that he was working there at a time that their budget was growing, and also, you know, homelessness was growing. I also managed to talk to his old boss, the executive director. Her name's Stephanie Klasky Gamer, and she's been there, you know, 20 years or so. She's kind of a fixture of that area, and she had, you know, she was extremely nice. She had nothing but good stuff to say about him, and I do mean nothing. You know, some of the quotes that she said were, "He's an incredible systems thinker, a very kind human, always stays really grounded in mission and purpose, has a true sense of empathy for who we serve, and that plays out in how we deliver services to our participants." So, you know, no shortage of kind words. And I guess lastly on this note, she also said that, you know, some of the practices that they were working on there ended up, you know, he did a really good job spreading those kind of best practices around to other agencies, including where he would very shortly go on to work, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority.
So that's kind of where he got his big break, right?
Yeah, so basically, you know, in late 2016, he gets hired as the direct. What was it? It was the director of homeless services at that. And I'm going to call it LHASA. That's kind of the abbreviation, LHASA. But this kind of hiring came at a time when you know, there's just a huge, huge, huge explosion of money. You know, I found documents that showed that first year he joined, their budget was 132 million. And their budget, you know, the most recent one is 843 million. So just a huge inflow of cash. And basically the background on that is that you know, for starters, homelessness was increasing. And they have a much, you know, more there's just much more people experiencing homelessness there. It's a bigger city. But then, kind of in addition to that, it was getting a lot of, sensationalistic media coverage and media coverage just in general. And so voters there passed these two massive, one was a prop and one was a measure, but it left the region with just hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year to address this. And so that's really the time that he joins this organization in a pretty senior role, basically three levels, or four levels from the top. And so from there, that's when his online footprint really, really picks up. Like you start seeing him almost immediately in all of these meetings. Like, for instance, within about a month of starting his job, maybe even a matter of weeks, he was presenting to this body called the West Side Regional Alliance of Councils, which is basically a bunch of different neighborhood groups. And you can see in meeting minutes, it says the point of him being there, or what he said while there, was he was explaining to them, quote, "Cheaper to provide housing and services than to keep people or persons on the street where they generate expensive health care and police activity slash costs." So he's basically explaining to people, like, this is why we're spending all this money. Like, we're actually, this is the most cost-effective way to fight this stuff. And it also happens to be the most humane. And so he's really like in the weeds in this work. And you can really also see some of his beliefs starting to come out during this time. I'd found conference presentations and other things before that, but I think a really telling piece of work from that era was in 2019, in kind of the summer. He did this presentation entitled "Harm Reduction: Working with Active Substance Users." And so as a part of that, he's basically explaining his philosophy of, or well, it's not really his philosophy. He's explaining the philosophy of harm reduction, which is basically like providing people services and housing without requiring sobriety and these other kind of significant barriers. And so he's explaining this, and I think in what a lot of people would probably view as a pretty like humane and caring way. And it ends with these 10 takeaways. And I'm just going to read the last three because I think they're pretty telling of his views. Drug users deserve access to quality care, health, mental health, and housing. Drug users deserve help to be healthy as possible, and happy. And then finally, drug users can be housed successfully. And I think that really captures a lot of what he's trying to do, which is like implementing these policies and getting people housed. Around that time, he also authored a report to the LA City Council that I think was similarly telling, where it was basically on like the best practices for how to handle people's things as they move from encampments onto the street. So again, he's like deep, deep, deep in these policies and trying to implement them in ways that I think you could view as more just or less traumatizing is kind of the read in that job.
When you say he was hired in 2016, the obvious next question is, what did he do when the pandemic hit? Because COVID affected the unhoused population, hugely. How did Vergao handle COVID?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right before COVID hits, for starters, he gets promoted to interim chief program officer, which, if you're imagining the organization as a pyramid, there's the CEO at the top, and then there's two people below her. And he's one of those two people. The other is the chief financial officer, or basically more on the finance side. So he's basically in charge of all of their programming. So it's a huge position. And he's promoted to it on an interim basis. And then shortly after that happens, COVID hits. And so he's basically leading the agency's programming at the very beginning of COVID, which, I'm sure many people remember was, certainly in my lifetime, unprecedented, and dramatic for people on the streets because there was higher rates of transmission, there was less access to healthcare, there was more pre-existing conditions, higher, I'm sure, mortality. It was, a disaster, broadly speaking. And they're basically focusing on getting people in housing as quickly as possible, I'm told, in particular to avoid kind of this broad transmission. And people may remember Portland's Project Turnkey, but California was actually the first state to secure federal, I guess it would have been federal approval to house homeless people in motels. And so he's basically, and I should say, Lhasa is administering that. So he's, basically in charge of that. Tremendously, tremendously important effort, as well as all the, the million other things this agency is doing. Pretty significant experience. Then, late 2020, obviously pandemic still very much raging. They hire somebody for that that position he was in, that chief program officer, and he moves down one level to kind of that third tier where he's deputy chief program officer. So he's still basically in charge of implementing all of these policies. He just has kind of a boss above him, as well as that CEO. And so he's, you really see him in these meetings explaining the nuts and bolts of these policies, explaining, how different things are going, what they are, to just a pretty wide variety of different types of bodies. One example is, you see him explaining how Project Roomkey was kind of sunsetting or ending, how they were doing it, getting people in different types of housing. And then you also kind of see them shifting to other modes of housing people as that kind of sunsetted. And I think one of the most telling ones in terms of the stuff he did was this use of, it was called the Encampment Resolution Funding. And it was put on by the state, but it's basically a way to get people out of homeless encampments and into housing. Obviously, LA, a lot like Portland, people do not want to see homeless people. And so there's, obviously a lot of momentum for that. And then, of course, people do want to house folks as well. And so I actually found documents on this grant that Lhasa had applied to, $14 million back in 2023. And so the project, it had set out in the application that I found, which he was the grant administrator on. So that's like the lead guy. To house about 200 people living on this 4-mile stretch of freeway in LA over the next about 3 years. I was, I figure, let's see how that went. Did he succeed? And so I'm looking through annual reports, and I indeed find the 2025 annual report, and it shows that he, by the end of 2024, they'd pretty much, I mean, they basically dramatically exceeded. So they'd housed 210 people in interim housing, which already met their goal, but then they'd also housed another 236 in permanent housing, and they decided they're going to keep providing services to the people there. So that's things like substance use treatment, connecting them to that, but then also like helping people get documents like IDs and other things that are really key for getting housing. But obviously, if you're getting swept or just living on the street, those are hard to hold on to. And then in that same report, that annual report, there were other examples of really significant successes through that program too. In one on Skid Row, they reduced unsheltered homelessness in women by 47%. And I think there's a really telling quote at the end of that, which they talked about that, and they said that quote gives us incredibly strong evidence that location-based and even subpopulation-focused interventions can overcome the rate of inflow into an encampment like Skid Row. So basically what they're saying is like, this approach that we're taking works. That's basically what they're saying. And then, as an aside, he also led a lot of other different programs. They were using a lot of rapid rehousing, which is basically like for people who, they're pretty able to function at a high level, but they get some kind of they hit some speed bumps in life and end up homeless. That's just like subsidizing an apartment for them at kind of a decreasing rate over a few years. And then another is tiny home villages that the county had kind of emphasized to me that he'd worked on. So he's profoundly in the weeds at this time, and quite successful, at least is what the documents I reviewed showed.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, obviously these projects are the result of, hundreds of people working together, but it is incredible to see how much that this person is supporting really successful projects that are helping people. I'm wondering if there are any like drawbacks or controversies that you found in your reporting.
Yeah, absolutely. There was no shortage of that as well. And some of it, I found appeared to be, just kind of mundane workplace drama that he honestly seemed to come out pretty good of in terms of how he handled himself. But broadly speaking, the agency was really rocked by controversy at that period. They were hit with these audits in 2024 and 2025, and there's kind of these ongoing court cases against them. And I'll just read what the LA Times wrote about that second audit. It basically said that homeless services provided by Lhasa are, and here's where it becomes a quote, disjointed and lack adequate data systems and financial controls to monitor contracts for compliance and performance, leaving the system vulnerable to waste and fraud. So, obviously could be more brutal, but certainly, not gentle. And those had pretty dramatic impacts. Really shortly after that came out, the LA County Board of Supervisors voted to pull resources from Lhasa, and they basically took about $300 million and 700 employees, which is, just huge. I will say, I heard mixed things about what really caused that. Some folks said that it was, the agency was succeeding. And that, these types of problems are going to come when your budget goes up from, 130 something million to 830 something million, or, in the 100 millions to in the 800 millions. And that broadly they were successful. Other people, and I should say I reached out to his critics and they didn't want to be interviewed. But other people are like, this is a mess. Obviously, the LA County Board of Supervisors in the latter camps, they pull all this funding. Vergao fights that in a hearing. You can see him basically be in the hearing where this was eventually decided. You can see him quoted in the transcript as fighting this, basically saying like, whatever works is good by me, but like, why are we rushing? We don't have a plan. How is this new agency going to do any better than what we had? Really centering the impacts of this stuff on people. In the end, their executive director resigns. A federal task force under the Trump administration, it's worth noting, announced to investigate the agency for fraud. So that's, pretty much a disaster. But I will say, his former boss, when I asked her, what's a story that really captures who he is? She basically said that period and how he handled himself during that, basically saying that he stayed focused on his job and the people they serve, and then heaping, more thoughtful praise on him after that. During that time, and this is, 2025 to now, he basically continues his work. So you still see him presenting to different things, LA's Commission on Disability, the Board of Supervisors. And then of course, I guess, the last little bits before we get to where we are today is just, recently Lhasa did miss a key deadline for the audit that they're going under, which risks their federal funding. And then about 2 days after that, the county announced that they'd selected him. So that kind of brings us to where we are now.
With all that time spent on this issue, what are some of your lasting impressions of Vergao from this report?
I mean, I think it's kind of, I don't definitively know by any means. There were different strains that you could pick up on. On one hand, he is jumping ship on, this kind of sinking agency. On the other hand, he's got a lot of experience that he's bringing to Portland. To keep with that metaphor, it's like a lifeboat. I think, what I did really see in the reporting is his social worker background really seems to have shaped him. Too, he seems he's I suppose I don't know whether he's knowledgeable, but he's certainly deeply, deeply, deeply in the weeds on these very technical policies and programs and explaining them over the last decade. And struck people who I talked to, people I talked to talked to him, and he struck them as quite knowledgeable. And he basically just seemed to be focused on implementing a lot of policies at the time of Or I guess basically just implementing these policies in a way that was maybe more humane, or more effective for the people they serve. And of course, he did, I did find him leading some very effective programs. And obviously there's still, I still have a lot of questions as to, I'm sure everybody, but those were kind of some of the impressions I formed.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question for me personally is, looking at his accomplishments that there was documentation of at least online, they're significant. And I should also note LA has indeed, it's a success story in that, despite the county, kind of going after Lhasa, they have succeeded in lowering the number of homeless people for 2 years in a row. But all the success, I mean, it came at a time of just absolutely skyrocketing budgets. And so I think the big question is like, what can he do during this kind of era of budget cuts? And so, I think for me, that's kind of the big question. And I guess the last thing I would say is just, pick up a Street Roots this week. They're out on Wednesdays. And if you're curious where you can find a vendor, you can go to streetroots.org/vendors, another slash after that. And I think that's all I got.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Henry.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to an interview with Street Roots investigative reporter Henry Brennan. For X-Ray FM, I'm Hannah Francis.